Book of Jeremiah, and it's chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11. Have a handout. So I have a handout for the message. All right. So get this going around. So you can be turning your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 11. So we're going through the book of Jeremiah, Old Testament. But man burdened for his own people as the southern kingdom is falling apart, going to go into captivity. All right, so Jeremiah chapter 11, and pick it up verse 14. So you'll be flipping in your Bible. Here those pages rattle. Get over there, Old Testament, chapter 11, verse 14. All right, so here, as we recall in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was the Lord's prophet to preach to the southern kingdom about the coming Babylonians, and destruction was coming. It's probably going on after the time of Josiah and during time of Jehoiakim. But at any point, he's warning his people and has a burden for them. So we see how he has said there that the Lord's going to do his work. And it's in verse 5, for instance. And so Jeremiah says in verse 5, then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. So once he is open to the Lord's will here and so on, Lord tells him to go preach in the cities of Judah, this is in verse 6, in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. And so the Lord gives him an assignment to do. He had to preach the coming judgment, which his own townspeople hated him and hated that message. So in chapter 11, we have his message that he's given here, and then we find out that there is a conspiracy against him back there in verse 9. So verse 9 says, so it's 11:9, so we're reviewing a little bit. The Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods. So here they're involved in this Babylonian or this pagan practice of Baal worship and so on. And so he finds out about the conspiracy against the Lord, but also, the conspiracy is against him. And so things narrow down with Jeremiah, that he finds out his own town people, his only kinfolk in Anathoth, were opposed to him and his preaching here. So he had this burden upon him. So let's pick this up in verse 14. And so verse 14, Scripture says, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or a prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. And so the Lord says, don't pray for these people. This second time he said that to them. Don't pray for these people. They are so far hardened in their heart that they want to continue with their shameful behavior here of worshiping Baal, so don't pray for them. So the commentary here on this I've given is the Lord has revealed a conspiracy to the prophet. That's verse 9. And so I bring out here Amos 3. So this gives us the perspective of the Lord and his prophets. So let's turn there to Amos 3, for instance, because the Lord called these prophets to very difficult situations. And so in Hosea, Joel, Amos, the Lord reveals things to his prophets. So we notice there in 3, 7, this is the principle, 3:7, Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. All right, so he gives them advance notice. That's why they're prophets. They can tell the future. He tells them the future, and this is what I'm going to do. And so the Lord revealed this to Jeremiah, that there's a conspiracy, and it's against you. It's against you, against the prophet here. And therefore, he would not hear his their cries. The Lord would not. And of course, neither would their idols. So he brings this out, verse 14. Therefore, pray not for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in time that they cry unto me for their trouble. And he's already indicated that their prophets won't hear, or their Baal statues here won't hear as well. So, therefore, the prophet was commanded for the second time, pray not. So this is back in 7:16. So we're getting an idea of what the Lord is expecting as he sent out his prophet. The prophet the people reject the prophet's message. So he tells them there in 7:16, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession for to me, for I will not hear thee. So you see, they've gone so far, they don't listen to the prophet. And so the Lord is saying, don't pray for them. Now, he was to stop praying for the incalcitrant people. No use to pray because Jehovah would not answer. Now, I give you another passage in the New Testament where believers are told not to pray. So this is in 1 John 5. In 1 John chapter 5, this relates to someone disciplined out of a church. 1 John 5, Lord says there to John, or John says this, coming from the Lord, in the verse 5:15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So the we here now is referring to the church that he's probably pastoring there, John. And so there is great value in the church praying. That's why we have prayer service here. And we've got a prayer sheet going around here somewhere. All right, so in this then, he says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So this is in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where we have a man who's involved in adultery with his stepmother. He's disciplined out of the church. So when individuals disciplined out of the church, now the whole point of church discipline is restoration. But as the Lord then begins to deal physically, usually, with an individual disciplined out of the church that won't repent of sin and so on, that the church members don't pray for this individual's recovery from bad health. Now, we do pray for the restoration, but not for their recovery if they're sick or something, because the Lord is bringing this on their life. So there's a time. We want to pray for their spiritual recovery, but not for their physical recovery. So that's the context of this passage related to 1 Corinthians. All right, so anyway, there are times when even today believers are not to pray for certain situations. Now, in verse 11, so we're back here in Jeremiah. And so the Lord says, what hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoiceth. So in this case, the Lord used the endearing term for his chosen people. They were his beloved. They were his bride. They were his bride. And we have this concept in reference there in Jeremiah 2:32 and 3:20, wife, in the house of Jehovah or the Solomonic temple this time. as they were duplicitous in their worship of Jehovah and Baal. So they're worshiping both Jehovah and Baal at the same time. And they couldn't do that. The Lord wasn't going to allow them to do that. So the Jews practiced lewdness while they brought holy flesh, let's be the right animals, to the altar there. Haggai talks about holy flesh as well there. And temple sacrifices. So they're bringing the animals, the right animals, in the temple, Solomon's temple here, and offering them on the altar here, as they were involved in all types of wicked sin. So, and they're rejoicing, thinking, no, we're going through the motions. We're going through the motions. We're offering animal sacrifices in the altar there in Solomon's temple. And so we're rejoicing because as we do these good things the Lord wants us to do, even though their heart wasn't in it, the Lord's going to avert the judgment. And he wasn't going to avert the judgment. So what were some of these things that they were doing? Well, we could look over there, 2 Kings. This passage shows how terrible the individuals were. 2 Kings chapter 23. And we notice here a whole litany of sins that they're practicing. So we pick this up in verse 2 Kings 23:5. So this is what Josiah tried to bring to an end. So he tried to bring social and moral revival and to the people, reformation, we could put it that way. Anyway, verse 5 says, they put down the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon, and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, burned it at the brook Kinrod, that's down south of Jerusalem, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. So here, making things for their pagan worship and so on. Later on, verse 10, we see, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom. And Hinnom's down south of Jerusalem. And no man might make his son or daughter to pass through the fire of Molech. So as I try to interpret all this, they were doing, King Josiah's reforms were condemned the Baal worship and groves. So the word behind groves here is Asherah. So Asherah was a fertility goddess. Idolatry was going on there. Astrology, sodomy, whoredom. The Moloch slaughter. Moloch slaughter was the slaughter of illegitimate babies there when they were involved in immorality there in and around the temple. And so when illegitimate babies came, they slaughtered them. And so, I mean, this is as bad as it can get. And they were doing this in and around Solomon's temple. And of course, the Lord's going to bring judgment on them for this. His reformation and revival were short-lived since his sons were wearing occultic clothing. If you look over there in Zephaniah, another minor prophet, so one of the Z prophets there, notice there in Zephaniah 1:8. Not Zechariah, but Zephaniah. So this is Zephaniah's contemporary with Jeremiah, and he's indicating there in 1:8, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children. So these were the succession of kings of the southern kingdom, coming all the way down to Zedekiah. But anyway, here, the king's children and all as such as are clothed with strange apparel. So they were dressing up, using and wearing occultic attire and so on. And so Jeremiah is has to deal with this wickedness that's going on there in the temple. Wickedness going on. So verse 16 and 17. So the Lord called by name a green olive tree, fair and goodly fruit, with the noise of a great tumult. He hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts hath planted thee, hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves, provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. So here, Jehovah compared the southern kingdom to a green olive tree, fair and thriving with a goodly fruit at one time. Nevertheless, the noise of the bruit, that's back there in 1022, which is the word that means a report or a noise, basically, of the coming Babylonians pictured a kindled lightning strike to burn the tree and destroy the branches. This parallels Isaiah chapter 5. The history of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom was Baal worship. It started all the way back there with the beginning of the northern kingdom here, the Baal worship, and brought the end of God's plan. Now, I pointed this out before, but there in Jeremiah 4:23, so we have a big historical picture of God's plan here. In 4:23 of Jeremiah, the scripture says, I beheld the earth, and it lo, and it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. So the Hebrew and Greek English expression here, without form and void, is identical here as it is in Genesis 1:2. So the Lord's plan here, so we see these theological historical bookends in his plan. His plan was to make the earth without form and void and fill it in, and the ultimately would have his people, chosen people, in the chosen land and worshiping him. And yet this all came to an end when the southern kingdom fell. And so we go from what he intended at the very beginning, and we go through all this history down to this very point. And this is the historical, theological, biblical bookend of the fall of what he planned to be the case, his chosen people in the land worshiping him. So this is the only other place that he uses this expression. And so he says, now that Jerusalem is falling to the Babylonians, my original plan here is coming to an end. But, of course, the Lord is gracious. After 7-year captivity, he'll bring them back. But his plan, and he used the expression for that. So carnality and immorality, not only in their worship, but also in Baptist churches. Imagine that. Baptist churches, so there has to be a little bit of application here. So carnality and immorality in Baptist assemblies brings demise. So why is it we find out pastors run away with their secretary or somebody else in the church? Because they see them all the time. You lust after what you see. Right? Lust after you see what you see. So, in all this, churches need to be careful about allowing others to, or presenting themselves for others to lust. So, men and women need to be careful about dressing in a provocative way. We need to be careful the way we conduct ourselves and how we dress. And so people aren't lusting because we lust about things that we see. We're not lusting about some secretary over there in Africa we've never seen. Right? But here. So that's why we have to be careful in ourselves. So anyway, chapter 11, verses 18 and 19 now. So the Lord had given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me their doings. says there, and I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. So here in this section here, next several chapters, in fact, include the intimate challenges of Jeremiah. Jeremiah found out there are people that don't like me. Can you imagine that? His own intimates there in Anathoth. The personal attack upon him, chapter 11. So here's kind of a summary of the next few chapters. His consternation about judgment, his remorse over the judgment, his plea for vindication, another conspiracy arises, and his charge against the Lord in chapter 20. Remember there in chapter 20, verse 7 following, he says to the Lord, you've deceived me. You've deceived me. Because I preach the word of God, and what happens? I'm beat up, put in prison, nobody likes me, conspiracies against me. Lord never said that wouldn't happen. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. Devil hates us. The people of non-truth hate us. I mentioned I found out the other day, somebody told me there's a pastor in the area that talks badly about me all the time. Really? I thought everybody loved me. I guess not. I hardly know the pastor. I hardly know him. And that I found this out the other day. So, and I suppose there are reasons why some might dislike me. But if it's over truth, that's something else. All right. So anyway, next we notice Jehovah gave knowledge about the personal attack from his own people in Anathoth. Even his own father, perhaps. So remember, he was living in the city of the priest. Quite often, those closest to the man of God are the greatest challenge about him doing the will of God and the most severe critics. Only for those inclined to the will of God, the issue is, who do you love more, Christ or family? Thank you. So here... here we have a verse that is in the Bible. Quite often, it's not mentioned too much. But the Lord said this, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, that's pretty strong. Now, in this, the whole issue here is our love for Christ to be so great that it seems like we have a lesser love towards our loved ones, as if we hate them because we love the Lord so much. But here, this is Luke 14:26. Also there in Mark 10:29, gives kind of the positive side of this. So Josiah's son Jehoiakim was his bitter enemy. So Jehoiakim pops up in Jeremiah a handful of times. I give you these different verses. But he was a 25-year-old son of Josiah. And he was an arch enemy to Jeremiah. and he reigned 11 years. The prophet likened himself to a lamb slain. This gives us the language of Isaiah 53. Of course, the Lord himself was a lamb slain, and so Jeremiah identifies. He even prefigures the Lord in certain cases there. He's the prophet that's hated. Lord Jesus Christ was the prophet that was hated. So we have parallels in all this. The priest in his hometown for priest, about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem, that's where Anathoth was, were opposed to this prophet preaching destruction on their very city. So let's look back there in 1:1. Jeremiah 1:1. So this is where he came from. Jeremiah 1:1. The words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah, of the priest, that were in Anathoth. in the land of Benjamin. So this is just up in the tribe of Benjamin. And so all of his hometown people here, the priest, most of these priests were terrible priests. They're terrible priests. Well, we saw that in 2 Kings 23. They're terrible priests. They weren't obeying the Lord and so on. So they hated this prophet who's teaching the truth, preaching the truth, talking about destruction for sin. So they were opposed to this. So you find out a lot about things, about who approves and who's opposed to certain things. You find out who is opposed to truth. Find out something about that. Who's opposed to error? You find out about these people. So when they identify, you find out about them, where they stand on these issues. So their hatred for the man of truth manifested as the devised devices. So we see that expression here in verse 19. So it's a very emphatic expression. So in biblical language, like Hebrew, when the Hebrew tries to make something very emphatic, it doesn't make it bold like we do. But we have a verb here and the object of the verb. And so devised vices. They have the verb and the noun, the accusative noun there. It comes from the same root word called the cognate accusative. But it's very emphatic. They devised the vices against him. Their plan was to kill him. Those that hate truth want to kill those that give truth only. Now they can say nice things about you, but I really don't like you because you put out truth here and so on. So anyway, they wanted to destroy the tree and the fruit. So here we see the analogy of the tree. Who's the tree? Well, this is Jeremiah, and the fruit would be his offspring. But of course, he wasn't going to have any offspring, because the Lord told him there in chapter 16, verse 2, let's notice there, 16:2 of Jeremiah, the Lord told this prophet, "Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place." So who was Jeremiah going to marry? One of these apostate women. And so he was not to marry. And but since he didn't have any, he wasn't married and would have any offspring, this would also be go after his disciples. So he had disciples. Let's look over there in chapter 26. Jeremiah had disciples, so they wanted to go after his disciples. Chapter 26. Scripture tells us here in verse 20. "And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against the city and against the land according to all the words of Jeremiah." So he was one of Jeremiah's disciples. And he was preaching against the city and talking about judgment. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard the words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid, and he fled, and he went into Egypt. You see, so the geographical will for Jeremiah was in Jerusalem, and likewise for Urijah. You get out of the will of God, you don't know what's going to happen. So when our end comes, we want to make sure we're filled with the Spirit and the will of God. Our end may come either in death, or our end may come in the rapture. But in either case, when our end comes in this life, we want to be filled with the Spirit and the geographical will of God. So he got out of the geographical will of God, went to Egypt, of all places. Jehoiakim caught up with him and killed him with a sword. So here's one of Jeremiah's disciples. And he's killed. They're going after the tree and the fruit of the tree. They can't get the tree, so they're going after the fruit of the tree. And then likewise, Lord had to deal with another individual here, chapter 45. This case is Baruch. Baruch is the one who wrote probably most of the book of Jeremiah. Think of the privilege he had to write the book of Jeremiah. So Scripture says, the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in the book of at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying. So he talks to him, but notice there in verse 4. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord hath said thus. Behold, that which I have built I will break down, that which I have planted I'll pluck up, even this whole land. So now Jeremiah has to speak to his own scribe. And seekest thou great things for thyself? I mean, he's a scribe. He's writing scripture. What a great blessing, privilege. But to get puffed up over that, to get puffed up over doing the Lord's work, think of that. Seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. So he's going to spare his life, but he's going to be chased. Because he was getting puffed up over writing the scriptures. And we can get puffed up over doing anything for the Lord. Puffed up being a pastor. Puffed up being a church member, doing, serving here and there and so on. We thank the Lord we can do these things, but it's only by His grace that He enables us. If He's given us skills and abilities and so on, do we get puffed up with something He's given us? Wait a minute. Is this what I checked off before I was conceived? I want to be this and this and this and this. And the Lord said, okay, I'll do this just for you. It's not the way it works. And so anything we have comes from the Lord. So how can we get puffed up? Well, I mean, what a privilege to write scripture. Write the word of God, which endures forever. But he was getting puffed up. So the Lord was going to deal with and allow these men to deal with the tree and the fruit. And certainly one was killed and the other had to be reproved. So then, notice, we're still in verse 19. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, and his name may be no more remembered. So they want to eradicate his name. So the name of Jeremiah is never going to be remembered again. Oh, except, there's a verse in the New Testament. Let's look there. Over there in Matthew. So here's the connection. Don't miss the connection. Matthew chapter 16, verse 14. 16:14. Here the Lord, right before he makes his great statement about his church here, in verse 14, or he asked the question there, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, there's that name, Jeremias. So his name wasn't eradicated. And the Lord made sure, you're my faithful prophet, your name's not going to be eradicated. It shows up in the New Testament. So you see how failed this was. The Lord took care of Jeremiah. But Jeremiah had certain struggles here and challenges, and yet the Lord was with him. So, if you write in your Bible, you might want to make a connection there. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be no more remembered. Matthew 16:14. All right, then finally, in verse 20 to 23. But the Lord of hosts, that judges righteously, that tries the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee I have revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, and their sons and their daughters shall die by a famine. and there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil men evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. So the Lord answered Jeremiah's plea, as he pled for his cause of innocence to the Lord, who tries the reins and hearts and asks for vengeance. They warned him not to prophesy in the name of the Lord. And yet he was doing that. Amos was told the same thing. Amos was told the same thing. Let's look over there in the book of Amos again. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Yeah. And so here he runs into Amaziah, Amos chapter 7. And so Amos goes up there to Bethel, where the false place of worship was. He preaches there. But in verse verse 12, we'll pick it up. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah. There eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel. So Amos, you can go anywhere else you want to preach, but don't preach here. No, that's where he's called to preach. And so he says, then answered Amos to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of a sycamore tree, fruit. And so here, looked like he had to work part-time as a prophet. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. That'd be the northern kingdom. So the Lord tells him, you go preach there. Amaziah said, no, you don't preach here. All right, who's going to win out on this? See, there's the fear of man. Fear of man, I preach the truth. Or do I preach the truth? If I preach the truth, what will men think? It comes down to who cares. We don't answer to men. We answer to the Lord. So who cares? So that's a great theory until we have to practice it. Then when we have to practice it, and then it becomes a reality to us. So Lord told them to prophesy. So verse 16, now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. So Amaziah is going back to, Amos going back to Amaziah, and saying there, therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into the captivity forth of his land. And so the Lord honors the word of God. We do what's difficult in the will of God. We preach the truth in the will of God, and the Lord honors that. He'll deal with others. He needs to deal with the preacher. You obey me, then I'll deal with the audience. I'll deal with the audience. You just take care of your responsibility. Preachers, prophets, they're to preach the truth. All right, so in conclusion here, the Lord responded to his prayer and assured him that the remnant of the conspirators would die. That's verse 22. So he dealt with them in 586 B.C. And so the men of Anathoth, most of them died, the remnant. However, we find out not all the men of Anathoth died, because Ezra 2:23 says there are 128 men of Anathoth that returned from exile. So he allowed a small remnant, 128. The return of the priest. So the Lord took care of all these things. So we're called to obey the Lord, live for him, and so on, and give the truth out, and let the Lord take care of the consequences. So he wants to deal with us first. Once he deals with us, then he'll deal with others. And so we need to allow him to deal with us and obey him, and he'll bless us and deal with others that he needs to. Our Father, we praise you, bless us now. We thank you for the Word of God, the opportunity to study the Scriptures and the life of Jeremiah. I hope this be an encouragement to our hearts and lives. I thank thee for his testimony, what you've done through him, and pray that you'll bless us as well as we focus on these truths. Bless in our prayer time now, we pray, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.